Okay, we continue in our series in Rosh Hashanah Shabbos. We're skipping now to page Shin Nun Beis, because it serves as a good introduction to the next number of classes that continues with the regular order that we've been going in. And the title of this essay is called Hachana L'Shabbos Kodesh, Preparation for Shabbos Kodesh. Again, we're on page Shin Nun Beis. And he says basically one very simple idea. Let's read inside. Matzana Bereish Perek Beis, the Kiddushin. We find in the beginning of the second chapter of Kiddushin, Binyan Mitzvah Bo Yoser Mibishlucha. There's a concept that says it's better for you to do a mitzvah than to have a messenger act on your behalf as an agent for you. Generally, in Torah law, you can ask someone to be an agent to do something for you. Even and so far as marriage, you can appoint someone to give him a ring and say, I want you to go over to this woman, hand her a ring, and say that you are betrothing her on my behalf. And it's like the sender, he has been betrothed to her, and they're married. So that's using an agent on your behalf. Although that works in halacha, there is an aspect, though, that if you really love doing mitzvahs, you'll do the mitzvah yourself, as opposed to an agent doing it for you. It's better for you to clean your house for Pesach, to get rid of the chametz, than to have somebody else clean out the chametz. Not that you have to. It's legally valid if you have an agent, but it's much better if you do it yourself. That's just a general idea. So we see in this area, the Hamoraim, the early rabbis in the days of the Gemara, almost 2,000 years ago, they would be involved physically in the preparations of the house on Erev Shabbos. And each rabbi, b'malacha shalahayu lefi kvodim b'chol, with activities that were not fitting for their level of honor, had this been on any weekday. And they certainly could have fulfilled their obligation of getting ready for Shabbos with other efforts in other areas. In other words, he's asking the following question. We find out that the rabbis of the Gemara, great, great scholars, they would do menial tasks in preparation for the Shabbos. Chop wood, cut up vegetables, prepare the meat, whatever. For a big rabbi, that's beneath his dignity to do such a thing. And if indeed it was on the weekdays, they would not do it, because it's beneath their dignity. There's certain halachas that are understood that we have to be concerned for the dignity of older people, scholarly people, and it manifests itself in many halachas in the Torah. So the question is, why would they do this on Erev Shabbos? A great saintly rabbi would start chopping wood on Erev Shabbos. And obviously, they knew what they were doing. So what's the rationale behind this? That's what we want to discuss. In Yonah, the concept is, the Hiskarnu Kamapa'amim, we've explained many times, the Vayishbais Bayim Hashvi Mekom Alachtu Ashersa. When it says in the Torah that Hashem rested from all the work that he did, and he rested on the seventh day, Esther, I think your sefer is probably going to be in the back there. They rested on the seventh day. What does it mean? Nechleles gam shvisa mimamar nasa adam. Included in that is resting from the statement that said, "Let us make man." Vahumi spato b'knisa Shabbos, and he was nullified by the entrance of the Shabbos. What are we saying? Let's just review. This is an idea we've had in the past. On Shabbos, on Friday, right before Shabbos, Hashem stopped all the work that he did. Now the work that he did was everything he did with his utterances. He said, let there be light, let there be vegetation, let there be this, let there be that. So Hashem stopped, as it were, that creative activity, and the whole world, as it were, comes to a stop. So everything in the world, everything that Hashem actively, verbally created, which includes the human being. And therefore, on a certain level, the human being ceases. Everything stops. Everything stops on Shabbos. So that means the human being as well has to stop on Erev Shabbos. And the question is, why? As we'll see. Amnam. Biyosha ein omek. We're at the end. We're on page Shin Nun Beis. We're skipping way, way back at the end. Shin Nun Beis. We're about on the seventh, eighth line now. Amnon biyosh ein omek tzuras ha'adam osahat tzura shahurkava b'guf ber Shabbos Kodesh. However, if you really look at the depth of the structure of the human being, the depth of his structure is not the structure that's combined with a body that you have on Erev Shabbos Kodesh. The body is more appropriately associated with that background of the world of effort that is done in the world where it says today is the time to do. But that's the body. But the main part of the person who tomorrow receives the world, the reward. As the Mesillas Yesharim says in their brackets, Lo nivra ha'adam el yisal l'Hashem. Person was created only to delight in Hashem. Okay. So, in other words, when we look at the structure of a human being, what is the deepest reality of the human being? It's not his body. It's his soul. So, let's use a little bit of an analogy over here. If you know, there's a concept of a caricature in political cartoons. A caricature is when you highlight, you accentuate one aspect of the person in an exaggerated way that draws total focus of that part of the individual. So, in the olden days, Richard Nixon, President of the United States, had a big nose. So they would caricature him as 95% nose, with a little person attached to the nose. So everyone would highlight the fact he's got a big nose. And that's what a caricature is. So a caricature, although, it's true that Richard Nixon had a nose, and it may be true his nose was a little bigger than other people, but his nose was certainly not 95% of his entire body. So it's a false representation of what he was, but it's humorous. So the same thing is when we look at a human being. During these 6 days of the week, we live with a terribly misleading caricature of what we are. What does that mean? We have to look at what we are. We're a body and a soul. So the truth of the matter is, 95% of us is really soul, and 5% is body. The body is the least important part of the human being. However, during the week, there's a caricature that shows we live with that is making that the body is 95%, and yet there's up to something of soul, and we'll take care of that 5%, give it 5% of it attention that it would want. There is this caricature that exists. And the problem is, people believe that caricature. You look in the mirror and you ask, what am I? Who am I? We spend at least, 95% of our daily lives focusing on our bodies. Okay, then you go to shul once in a while, do a mitzvah once in a while. But how much of that is part of your day? And you're really focused on the spiritual aspect of yourself. So he's saying that when we're looking at the two parts of the person, so there's one part that's really focused on the today we have to do, and there's a much deeper part that's focusing on the tomorrow to receive the reward. So now, okay, and therefore, B'makom shechol shvisa al binyan oilam hamasa d'sheisim ebreishis. In a place where the reality of the stopping of the structure of the 6 days of the weeks happens when you're able to shut down that area where the caricature exists, then niftaches os nekudas ha'oimek d'hatzuras oram. That opens up the point of the depth of the real structure of the human being. Hamuchshir lichyo is toich tfisas amacher. That's really designed to live with the apprehension of the tomorrow. Why is that? Ki Shabbos echad mishishim b'olam haba. Because Shabbos is 1/60th of the days of the world to come. Shehi tfisas shayna lagamri. There's a totally different perception. From the way things look in the world of effort and things where things Hashem is hidden. Therefore, since Erev Shabbos is the day of transition from the past to the tomorrow, Therefore, there's an idea of preparing for the Shabbos, as the Torah says, and on the sixth day you prepare. Im kein, therefore, b'hachonos shalot, part of the preparations is, tzorech lehisnot seitz mahalach shel bitul mehadmus odom d'shesh mebreishes. You have to begin to sparkle and shine a pathway of nullifying the structure of the type of person that's the 6 days of the week. In other words, he's saying like this. The human being is called an Adam. Human being is called an Adam. Adam, why was he called Adam? So the simple meaning is, because Adam comes from the word Adama. Adama means the earth. So, meaning to say, the human being is made out of flesh and blood, from dust to dust. So therefore, he is really has a very strong earthly aspect to his reality, which is the lower level of his reality. And there is another meaning of the word Adam. And what's that? Same word of Adama. If you change the letters, what does it spell? Change the dots, the same letters, but you change the nikud. What word can you say? From Adama
to Adam.
No, the same letters. The same letters exactly. Not even changing the letters, not changing the order.
Domain.
So, yeah. Adameh. I will be similar to. I will emulate. The same letters. The exact same letters, just changing a couple dots. So, there's an aspect of you being that's Adama. It's from the earth. That's a physical part. And then there's the aspect of Adameh, that I can make myself emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now, which part shows to the person? Well, during the 6 days of the week, the physical part is the caricature that is so real to the person. But the point is, we want to reach, but that part's got to get shut down. We want to reach who we truly are. We truly are this neshama. On Shabbos, we feel 1/60th of the world to come. In the world to come, the neshama is going to clearly be the primary reality of the person. Even according to the opinions that say we will have a body in the world to come, but the body will be much less important. The body will be just something that's just an appendage, just a tag along to the soul. But it'll be clear to everybody up there that's what it is. So it's going to have, you know, it's got 3%, 4%, 5% of the reality of the person. But the real reality is going to be neshama. On Shabbos, you taste that real reality, 1/60th of that. So we're trying to transition from the 6 days of the week where I work and I make effort and I'm making a lot of use of my body, and I could tend to be misled by the caricature of the body and think that the body is the main thing. But on Shabbos, everything has to cease. Even the body has to cease. The body has to cease because to the degree that the body will cease, to that degree, the soul will become bigger. The soul will loom larger. You will be able to appreciate the fact that you've got a soul. And that's what you're trying to accomplish on Shabbos. So it comes out that if you want that to come out. So on Erev Shabbos, the caricature of the man has to be recognized by the person himself that it is a caricature. That's what he's saying. You need to have a beetle. You have to have a nullification of that caricature. There's a Yiddish expression, you know, when a person is really tired, you know, the guy says, I'm ois mensch. It's a Yiddish expression. I'm ois mensch. Which means like I'm no longer a person. I'm so tired, I'm not a person anymore. So to borrowing that terminology, on Erev Shabbos, is coming up to Shabbos, you're trying to make yourself ois mensch. I'm not a physical person anymore. Finished. No more a physical person. Because that's not what I really am. That's not what I really am. I really am a spiritual being. However, the spiritual being, Hashem wants him to be able to, As we said in the Shabbos afternoon class, Hashem has sent a spiritual being to develop into what it's supposed to be in a spiritual level, but it has to make use of the physical world. It has to make use of the physical world. But the physical world is not really who he is at all. But it's something he has to be engaged with, but that's not what he is. It's not who he is. But the illusion is so strong during the 6 days of the week and life in this world, you begin to believe that that's what the real reality is. The body is the real reality. So we've got to be able to transition that. And the only way you can transition that is by nullifying the caricature of the person that suggests he's really a body. Now he continues, V'kan, hein pula sachona. And here we have the activities of perspiration. Asher lulei shahayu l'tzorich Shabbos. If it wasn't for the needs of Shabbos, we would attribute it to be considered the category of an elderly person that's beyond his honor. He should not have to do it. But since we need to sparkle and shine, what? This nullification of the person of the 6 days of the week. Therefore, they engage themselves in activities that the activities, being engaged in these activities, the content of these activities is to nullify the quote-unquote somethingness of the personal individual. In other words, the concept in Chassidus is called yesh and ayin. Yesh means I'm something, ayin means I'm not anything. The true reality is a person is ayin, is nothing. Why? Because in front of Hashem, nothing really exists. In front of Hashem, what? I have nothing. Everything comes from Hashem. To the degree that I believe I'm a somebody, if you believe that you're a somebody, then that creates a barrier between you and Hashem. That somethingness, that yeshus, that somethingness, is something that comes with the body. Shabbos, by Shabbos, we have to have ois mensch. It's no body. The body is only playing 5% of its role, and not more than 5%. It's a very small minority stockholder in this corporation called the human being. But you gotta do something that really puts the body down. So what are you doing? This is why the rabbis did these very beneath their dignity activities in getting ready for the Shabbos. You know, many of us feel, you know, I'm not going to clean the floors. That's, you know, there's a term for that kind of work. Yeah? It's work for the slaves, work for the nannies. It's not for a smart, intelligent person. Smart, intelligent person. I didn't go to university to wash the floors. Right? Because we're a somebody. We're a somebody. And yeah, we are a somebody. But the question is, when you come to Shabbos, you got to realize you're not anybody. You're not anybody. And you'll find that people who, unfortunately, let's say people who had very prestigious jobs. And then as they get older and the climate of the industry changes, they get laid off. And now they're way overly qualified. Everything they've been learning their whole life can't provide them with any money. So what if sometimes they'll have to do? They have to do a very quote-unquote low job for what they were used to. You know, and I'm not saying it's a bad job. It's an honest job, but for what the person was making and for the kind of work they were doing, you know, whatever, to be a clerk in a store from a person who was executive vice president of a corporation, you said it's kind of a meaningless activity. You know, people, Jews who immigrated from Russia to Canada, right? And these people had medical backgrounds. They were almost doctors, right? So what, I had a person, and what, I ended up being a cleaning lady in my house. Now what does that do to your ego?
Crush it.
It totally crushes the ego. So in preparing for Shabbos, that's a good thing. In general, we don't want people's egos crushed. We don't want to crush people's egos. But the problem is, the ego is a double-edged sword. It's good to have a healthy sense of self of who you are, but that's the point. You have to have a healthy sense of who you are, not of what you do. Of who you are. So who are you? You're a neshama. If you have a healthy sense of being a neshama, then you're looking at life a whole different way. But when a person believes he is what he does, I am a doctor. I am a doctor. They can say doctor is prestigious. And that's what I am. You have to reframe that. I heal sick people. The activity I do is that I heal sick people. And I do a kindness to heal them. I happen to be paid well for it. But I am not, to say I am, this whole, it's a goyish expression. What are you? I am a doctor. You're not a doctor. You're a Jew. You're a Jew with an neshama, who for your occupation to make a parnasa, you heal sick people, which is a very nice thing to do. It's a nice thing to do. But that's not who you are. It's not who you are. You are not what you do. You are what you are. And you do things for whatever reasons you do things, but that's not who you are. So, you know, let's say a person is a doctor, right? And then let's say they force him to retire. You know, you can stay in a place so long, you work at a hospital, eventually they retire you. So now, if you are a doctor, and now you're not a doctor, then you're nobody. And that becomes a crushing reality. You are not what you do. You understand? That's an illusion. And that's a big problem. What do you want to be when you grow up? A lawyer, a doctor, an accountant. That's not what you're going to be when you grow up. I didn't ask you what means you plan on making money when you grow up. If I ask you, how do you plan on making a living when you grow up? So I'll be a lawyer to make a living. I'll be an accountant. I'll be a doctor to make a living. But that's not what I want to be when I grow up. What I be when I grow up is a person very much connected to my soul. I already am. I already have a soul. The problem is I'm not connected. So what do I want to be? I want to be a person who feels very connected to his neshama. And that's a Shabbos Jew. On Shabbos, Hashem makes it easy. He enables the body to shut down if you work on shutting it down. And when you shut down the body, then the neshama is able to express itself. That's why it's hard to appreciate the Shabbos without this preparation. Without the proper hachana for Shabbos, you still think you're a body. You still think you're a lawyer or a doctor. And if you think on Shabbos that you're a lawyer and a doctor, there's no way you're going to come to your neshama. So now, I can imagine, an important doctor, an important lawyer, who makes $500,000 a year or whatever, and what does he do on Erev Shabbos? He takes a broom and starts cleaning the kitchen floor. I want to know how many lawyers and doctors who make that kind of money wash the kitchen floor. I don't have to wash the kitchen. I can pay someone to do that. That's not worth the money. I get $400 an hour, says a lawyer.
Even the wife of the lawyer doesn't do it.
Even the wife of the lawyer doesn't do it. What does she do? She, Erev Shabbos gets her shekel fixed.
Nails.
Has somebody, gets her nails done. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. But you must do a demonstrative act that nullifies the physical, superiority that you have given to the body way more than it deserves, especially when you're coming into the Shabbos. So just like if a person who, God forbid, you know, he got the hospital decommissioned him and says, you can't work anymore as a doctor. You're old. You're 75. We're retiring you. I know there was once a doctor like that. An amazing doctor. He delivered many of my children. He was the best gynecologist around in the city of Toronto, hands down. And not only did he deliver my kids, he delivered my wife.
Oh, is it?
Right? With my wife. He got to a certain age. They pushed him out of the hospital. Finished.
What's his name?
On the tape, I don't have to say. Okay. I'll tell you afterwards. And then afterwards he opened up a little office himself, but it wasn't the same. And then he retired, whatever. But that kind of person, I felt sorry for him. Because he was the famous Dr. So-and-so. Famous. But now he's like nobody. He's a nothing. And a person like that, you know, because he really, that guy in particular, he delivered every baby of every patient. There's no such thing as him missing a delivery. That's, as we say in Yiddish, übergegeben, totally devoted to, because he was a doctor. He was nothing else. He was nothing else but a doctor, 24/7. That was his life. Okay, he wasn't Jewish. It's okay, it doesn't matter.
He wasn't Jewish?
Wasn't Jewish, as far as I know. But then when you don't do that anymore, then what are you? Then what are you? Person said, you know, what are you? I'm a mother. You're not a mother. Again, you're a person within a neshama. One of the mitzvahs that you do is do you raise your children. That's one of the mitzvahs that you do. Among all the other things you do in this world, one of the things you do is to raise children. So what happens when your children get older and you don't have to raise them anymore? This is where you have this what do you call it, the midlife crisis for women. When all of a sudden you're not a mother anymore. So they say, well, you know, you never stop being a mother because the kids always need you. That's nonsense. They don't, once they're married, they don't need you anymore. You know, unless they're really good kids. They need money. Then you become a bank. You're not a mother anymore. You become a bank. Now I'm a bank. I was a mother, and now I'm a bank machine.
Right.
And the truth is, you never were a mother, and you never are a bank machine. You always were a godly soul who happened at this time of life raise children, because that's the will of Hashem, for me to raise children. And when there's no more children to raise, I'm still a neshama, and I look for the next will of Hashem that Hashem wants me to do. It's a whole different way of looking at life. The problem is, you know, people who don't have this Shabbos aspect, they get rudely awakened to this idea with the emptiness syndrome or midlife crisis, having to lose your job. Person's retired, what do? So that can be very crushing. Very crushing. Person says, well, what am I now? The last 25 years I was raising my kids. No one needs me for that. What am I going to do? I never trained to do anything. Just stand around my house and nothing. That's why, unfortunately, in the secular world, what do the women do? They get themselves in trouble. I'm not a mother anymore. My husband's too busy working. I never really had a great relationship with my husband, but I ignored it by taking care of my kids. Now the kids don't need me, so what does she do? So they start fooling around, getting them to go to the club, and they try to pick up guys and all this, and the kids have all kinds of problems. And they don't know who they are. So when you're coming to Shabbos, at least on Shabbos you should know who you are. On Shabbos, you're a godly soul, and a godly soul clearly is what you are. But you don't believe that because you keep looking at the caricature. And the caricature tells you, I'm a body, and look what my body does, and this and that, and that's all I am. So then Shabbos doesn't get in at all. So therefore, the rabbis went out of their way to do the most menial tasks, bedafka, they would never do the rest of the week. Because what do you mean? I have to learn Torah. A great rabbi is not supposed to do menial tasks. He's not. He's supposed to learn Torah. Let somebody else do the menial tasks. But what he would do is, I'm going to now chop some wood. Why? To show that don't get too carried away with my body. Don't get carried away with all my status. And that's why it's a special mitzvah, bedafka, to do the menial tasks before Shabbos. Of course, many of us, are wealthy enough to have the nanny do this. Again, I'm not saying, you know, a woman has to totally wear herself out before Shabbos. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a nanny. You know. And it's a wonderful thing to have the cleaning lady come in on Friday, because there's way too much work that has to be done on one day for one Jewish woman to do it. It's way too much, especially if a mother has to work also. But you still have to leave a certain amount that you are going to do. So, for example, in our house, we have a clean lady once a week. She comes on Friday. Okay, I know her. There's a lot of square foot in my house. There's a lot of toilets that need to be cleaned. A lot of floors that need to be cleaned. Beds that have to be made. Laundry has to be done. A lot of things have to be done. That's a lot of work. Kind of hard. There's a lot of kids in the house. There's a lot going on. Very few helpers in the house. Right? But still, so that's really menial work. But there's a lot of other menial tasks that have to be done that are more, I would say, directly related to the Shabbos. Like setting a table. That's not exactly an honorable job. There's waiters who do that at the minimum wage, right? But who should set the table? Right? You don't give the nanny that mitzvah already. You know, that somebody should set the table. I go out of my way to encourage the boys, even though they come back from yeshiva, I said, please set the table. And the knee-jerk reaction of a teenager is, why should I do it? Have the nanny do it. Because I'm a somebody. You're not a somebody. You have to set the table. You have to, you know, prepare prepare, make sure which food goes in the oven and set the timers and Shabbos things. There's plenty of things, clean your hat, you know, all these kinds of things, shine your shoes. There's things that it's all, but it's not exactly, you know, glorious tasks. But in other words, you can't, you know, you used to be able, you could have the nanny do everything, but the nanny can't do everything. You know, as much as you think nannies can raise children, they can't raise children. And one thing, they can't make your preparations for Shabbos.
For sure.
They can't nullify you for Shabbos. To the extent that you have the nannies doing all the work and you doing nothing, I'm just going to relax on Shabbos. I'm going to do nothing. That's also no good. You've got to do active nullification. How much you have to do, that already depends on what kind of person you are, how much money you have. We don't have enough money to have a nanny. So you're going to do a lot of nullification. You'll clean the floors too. You'll do all those things. But you have to be able to actively do this and encourage your children to do something that's beneath their dignity. And you'd be lucky if they say, why should I do this? Love the manus. And this is where the place to explain it to them. You have to realize that. Now, if you think your body is important, then who am I to do these things? Look how important my body is. So say, you know, it's not so important. You're not so important. Go do a menial task. And that's bedafka what the rabbis did to make sure that they would play down the body. So when you're coming in to the Shabbos, you're going to come into the real world. When you see that the body is not important, if the body is not important, then the soul is able to emerge on the Shabbos. And now you see yourself who you really are. Okay. So now, with this general concept that he has laid down, he gets to the main issue he wants to talk about. And that's in the next paragraph. B'derech zeh, with this way, yavur inyan halicha lemikva erev Shabbos kodesh nisker b'poiskim. Now you can understand the aspect of going to the mikvah on erev Shabbos that's brought in the poskim. This is halacha more for men. So, although women don't go to the mikvah on erev Shabbos, but their husbands should. Their husbands should. Even if, you know, and we're not talking about, you know, there's different mikvah, different mikvah. Now, obviously, when a woman goes to the mikvah when she is of childbearing age, her going to the mikvah, you know, truthfully, you know, it's based on a different halachic principle. Woman's a nida. She has to go out of that state of nida, and it only happens by going to the mikvah. That's a biblical mitzvah. She can't be permitted to her husband unless she goes to the mikvah. That's one aspect. Then there's another aspect where, in general, going to the mikvah brings out an aspect of kedusha, brings out of a holiness, which can certainly be added to the fact that a woman goes to the mikvah. We're not excluding women from this, but there's a special, and therefore many men, Hasidish men, go to the mikvah every day. But even if you're not going to the mikvah every day, there is a special aspect, go to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos. Okay. So that's what we're going to be talking about. So although there's a number of women here, you're going to say it doesn't pertain to me, but you'll see even the regular mikvah, when a lady does go, you'll see the ideas will be the same. So any person who goes to mikvah in general should have these ideas, because there's going to be a reason why you're going to the mikvah. It's most accentuated when it's an Erev Shabbos activity. And that's also something that's, you know, it's very difficult for men. To do this, because that means going to the mikvah means you got to book out a half an hour of your Erev Shabbos for that. You know, and that's not easy. Book a half an hour, you know, just to get in the car, drive to the local mikvah, go into the mikvah, come back from the car and get home. That's a half an hour, you know, and on an Erev Shabbos you may not have a half an hour. And again, if you really think about it, it's not really a half an hour, because every Erev Shabbos you have to take a shower, right? So when you're in the mikvah ready, you take a shower. So it's just a question of the driving to the mikvah. So this is something that we have to appreciate why that's so. So but why is going to the mikvah something that has to do with Erev Shabbos? So this is what he's going to say. Umibein advarim hamesugolim lehisyaches leshvita ala tzurak ademes omen hamikvah berosh hakol. And we're talking about the activities that a person can do that is most auspicious to stop, bring a stoppage to the physical body, to decommission the physical body. One of the activity that stands at the beginning of all this is going to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos. Going to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos is what gets us to see the caricature of the body as it should not be such a highly played and important activity, and rather should be lowered down to the status of what a body really is. So this is all part of the Erev Shabbos shutdown of the body. Going to the mikvah is part of it. And certainly, you could just see this, you know, as we'll see, as we'll develop this. Certainly, when a woman goes to the mikvah to become tahor, tahora, I mean, generally what's going to happen is she's going to be intimate with her husband. And when you're intimate with your husband, although intimacy is a very, very physical activity, but the truth of the matter is, again, you have to realize that that's not really the primary activity of intimacy. Intimacy is really the bonding of two souls. And you do it with the body. So even when there is actual intimacy, the body still has to be put in the proper place of what it is. That the body is still not the caricature. Not the caricature as is displayed in the movies. So that whole idea of when a husband and wife are going to be together, being intimate, where you would think this is where everything physical is going to go without any controls at all. So the mikvah, as you see for Erev Shabbos, is trying to play down the physical aspect of the person. Not to make it an animalistic act. It has to be one of spirituality as well. And we learned that the type of children that you conceive in terms of midos and spirit, how spiritual they are, depends on how spiritual was the environment of the night of the mikvah. So the night of getting back together. And therefore, the mikvah plays a very important role, you know, in producing beautiful children this way. So it's the same idea, but we're going to be focusing more on Shabbos. And that's what he's saying. Skula saw the benefit that comes from going to the mikvah, who lasale ketzura hakodemes, to remove the former structure that you have. Ulahalbisha tzura chadosh, and put on a new structure, a new form. And look at the proof. Look at the amazing proof. Vigerus tochiach. Conversion is the biggest proof that this happens. What does it mean? What happens when a non-Jew converts? So, a non-Jew can study for 3, 5, 10 years all the laws of being a Jew. All the laws of being a Jew. And the non-Jew can walk and talk and learn and know everything just like a Jew. Could put a kippah on like a Jew, wear a modest dress like a Jew, everything. But if they don't go to the mikvah, they're 100% non-Jew. Not like 50% Jew. 0% Jew. Zero. And all they have to do, go into the mikvah, that takes a minute.
Second.
100% Jew. From a 0% Jew to 100% Jew. So what's going on over here? What's happened? So we're saying that what happened? Shepashat al yoda, that through going to the mikvah, you've removed thereby the tsuras akum, the shape, the structure of the akum, stands as a goy. The lavash bim koma tsuras adam, and in the place you now have put on the structure of a human being. Now this is all a very, very big thing. You know, it's an interesting story. I said it this week.
This is Hollywood.
That the Gemara says that Hashem says that Jews are called an Adam. Non-Jews are not called an Adam. Adam means a human being. So the simple meaning of the Gemara is Jews are called human beings. Goyim are not called human beings. That's the simple translation. Simple translation. And the question is, so what does this mean? So first I'll tell you an interesting story, and I'll tell you what it really means. So there was a famous blood libel case in Russia about 100 years ago, a case with a Jew who was slandered to have killed a Christian baby. His name is Mendel Bayless. Mendel Bayless was the person, was the latest victim of blood libel rumors. And they want to make this high-profile case, and he was able to have a, it would be a court case and everything. It wasn't just the mobs killing him. No, this went to the Russian government. It was a big, big thing. And he was able to have a lawyer, a secular lawyer, a good lawyer. And they also brought with him a rabbi. A rabbi. So, his last name was Rabbi Maza. Maza was his last name. So, the lawyer starts to defend him. And he says, you know, it's ridiculous. How could you think that the Jews would kill a Christian baby to eat their matzahs? You know, if a Jew bites a piece of bread, and there's a piece of blood on the bread, they throw the bread out. Straight away. We don't even come close to blood. How could you say that we would want to take blood to kill a baby? It's prohibited against our religion. So the Russian judges were pretty smart, and they must have been abetted by some type of apostates. I say, yeah, but explain to me where it says in your Talmud that Jews are called an Adam and a Goy is not called an Adam. A Jew is called a human being and a Goy is not called a human being. If that's the case, if you feel we're not human beings, then obviously you feel that our blood is free to shed. I don't care what you say, but it's not true. You say we're not human beings. If we're not human beings, then obviously you can kill us. So the lawyer says, you know what? You ask me a question of the Talmud. I'm a lawyer. I'm not a rabbi. I defer to the rabbi here. The rabbi will explain. So the rabbi explained, and he said that, this is ridiculous. Because if you look in other places of the Talmud says, a Jew is forbidden to kill a goy. Plain and simple. A Jew is forbidden to kill a goy. And they said, well, I don't care. But it says that we're not a person. You got your piece, I got my piece. Then the rabbi says, well, you know, if you really look throughout the Talmud, you see that non-Jews are considered people too. And he starts whipping out different psukim where it says, Ish, who does such and such. And the Gemara says, Ish includes a non-Jew. If a non-Jew does this, he's included in this law. A number of places in the Torah it says, an Ish, a person, you know, shall not do this. You know, and if he does this, he's punished. It means not just a Jew, but even a non-Jew. Ish includes a non-Jew. So you see that we call non-Jews people also. They say, yeah, but it's still the Talmud says, and they can't get past it. It says they're not called an Adam. So he says, you're right. So now you got to understand the difference. You see, unfortunately, in your English language, you only have one word for a person. In Hebrew, we have many words for a person. One is called an Ish, and one is called an Adam. Obviously, we use two words in Hebrew that can't be the exact same meaning. The Torah says that a Goy is an Ish, but he's not an Adam. So what does that mean? So what does it mean? It means that, for example, the word Ish means a person. How do you say the plural of Ish? Many Ishes are called Anashim. Anashim. You can make it plural. You take the word Adam. Is there a plural for that word?
No. There's Adam.
There's no such plural for that word. There's no such word as Adamim.
No.
So what does that mean? It means that the word Ish means there's one person. He's one person. That's all he is. He's his own man. If you take more than one person, we have two people who are their own people. That we have anashim. Adam means a person that feels totally connected with every other person. An Adam, if you're an Adam, that means you feel you're part of the whole group. That's what an Adam means. Therefore, there's no plural for that, because the Adam is part of everything. He says like this, it's beautiful. He says, let me ask you. This Mendel Bayless, he's been put on trial. Do you know what's going on in the Jewish community with this guy? We have every synagogue in Europe is praying for this guy. Every synagogue in Europe is sending letters, you know, to the Tsar to have mercy on him. Because we don't want to see this Jew die. Now I want to ask you, Mr. Judge, in your courts, when a regular Russian guy goes on trial, are there thousands of Russians praying for him? Are there thousands of Russians trying to intervene to save his life? No! Because every Russian is every man for himself. But a Jew is no such thing as every Jew for himself. You're a Jew, you're everybody's a Jew, together. That's Adam. And that's what it means. Whenever the Torah says Ish can include a Goy. Because a Ish means one person. If I'm one person, doesn't sin. Gemara says that the Jews are called Adam and Goyim not, meaning the Jews have a sense of unity all with each other. That's an Adam. The non-Jews don't have a sense of unity, so to that degree, you're not called an Adam. That is the story.
And he won?
What? And right away he won the case. Case closed. Case closed. It was such a brilliant argument. Case closed, he's free. Finished. So that was the diplomatically good answer. That wasn't the real answer. I mean, it's true. It's for sure true. There's no question it's true. But it wasn't the real answer. But that comes out of the real answer. But that's what a goy is. A goy has an animalistic soul. And just like there's thousands of goyim, thousands of animalistic souls. The Jewish soul does not come from itself. The Jewish soul is a spiritual soul that connects to the highest realm, where there's the collective Jewish soul that's right by the throne of glory up in the highest realm of existence. So therefore, a Jew has a qualitatively different reality. And that's what it means that there's a change, and that's what he's saying, that when the non-Jew goes into the mikvah, he loses the shape of an akum, a goy, who is an ish, but now he puts on instead of tsuras adam. Because remember, what is an adam? An adam is someone who's capable of adameh, of emulating Hashem. A non-Jew cannot emulate Hashem. They're not built that way. We said they have a tselem, they have the image of Hashem, but they don't have the demus. There's two aspects of the human being. There's a tselem and a demus. The tselem is the physical, external reality, and externally, any human being can mirror God's actions, but the demus is what you really are inside. What you really are inside, being a godly, divine person, only a Jew can be a divine person. A goy cannot be a divine person. A goy can mirror divine activities, but he won't be a divine person. And that's an ish. An ish has the tselem Elohim. He can mirror it, but he isn't it. Adam, that's a Jew, because that's Adama. I got a choice. I got a godly soul. If I choose, I can just be a bum. I can be like the earth. If I choose Adameh, I can be just like God. I can mamish emulate God. So that's what happens. A goy is walking around. There's nothing wrong with being a goy. So what's the goy's life all about? Goy's life is all about, he's his own man. He doesn't really have to worry about the rest of the world. And just do what God tells you to do. Finish. You don't have to emulate the Almighty. You don't have that soul. So now what do you got? What do you got? You got this body. And this body, physically, the physical body, is some type of a mirror of the Hashem. Because when you do something nice, you're mirroring that activity. But that's it. It doesn't go any deeper than that. And that body is his garment, as it were. So just like when you go to the mikvah, so when he goes to the mikvah, he sheds the aspect of being the non-Jew, and when he comes out in Adam, he's now put on a new garment, a garment with a soul. He has transformed a new reality into his life. The non-Jew changing his clothes, because there's two ways of changing your clothes. And this is in halacha for Shabbos as well. We can wear clothes. You wear your clothes. Now, there's halacha, the clothes you wear on the weekday should not be the clothes you wear on Shabbos. For many reasons. But the deepest reason is saying, because really, what is clothing? What is clothing? Clothing is a covering. It's a covering. So what is the first clothing that a human being has? First clothing is your body. Your body is a garment of the soul. Your body is a garment of the soul. So if you're a goy, then your body is a garment of an animalistic soul. If you're a Jew, your garment, your body is a garment of the spiritual soul. So when the goy goes to the mikveh, he's changing his clothes. The garment that you wear for a spiritual soul is different than the garment you wear for a physical animalistic soul. So the goy is changing clothes. His reality changes. Again, there's the yeshus, the somethingness, and the ain and the nothingness. If an ish, by definition, is his own man, that's yeshus. Now look at this, beautiful. Ish is spelled, just thought of that. Ish is spelled aleph, yud, shin. Yesh. There is. Yesh. I'm a somebody. Aleph, yesh. Ani, yesh. I am somebody. Ish. I'm my own man. That kind of person, not connected to God at all. Not connected to God at all. To be kidding, because you're really focused on the body. That's what a goy is, focused on the body. He's got his spirituality is so small. By a goy, it's the body is the main thing and the spirit part is very little. But all of a sudden he comes out of the mikvah, he's not an ish anymore. He's an Adam. He's an Adam. Adam, Adameh, Domeh, I could be like Hashem. And that you have to be mevatel, the yesh. You have to be mevatel, the ish, and become the Adam. And this happens with a goy. It really happens. He has totally changed who he is. And how did that happen? By going into the mikvah. Something about that mikvah has changed who he is. And that's how it works for the goy. Right? Ukumoke, similarly, Al yada, thereby using the mikvah, poishtim tzuras ha'adam, you remove the shape of the adam. Now, a Jew is always called an adam. So by Jew, it's ratched up one level. From a goy, it goes from ish to adam. But a Jew's an adam all the time. But wait a minute, we're an adam, the shezim abrasius, of the 6 days of creation. And that already is an Adam that isn't sure. Should I be domet Hashem? Am I like dirt? Am I like Adama? I got free will choice. It's a struggle. And I could make a mistake. So I want to take off the Adam of the 6 day week garment. And now I begin to wear the garments of the structure that's more appropriate for Shabbos. I put on a Shabbos clothing. Meaning to say my essence has changed. I'm a different Adam now. Okay. B'ksav Misit writes in the holy mystical writings, Talidei HaTfila, when you go to the mikvah, Yecholim LaHasig Bigdei Shabbos, you now will be able to accomplish and to get Shabbos clothes. It's a mystical understanding now. Going to the mikvah gives you your Shabbos clothes. Again, so that's why symbolically we change our clothes Erev Shabbos. And in a perfect world, if you have the ability to bring your suit and everything to the mikvah, if you can do that, right? So really, you change your weekday clothes. Everything you should change. Even if you can't, if you can afford it. Your shoes, everything. Whatever you wore going into the mikvah, you come out a different person. At least symbolically, the clothes, Shabbos clothes, you know, look nicer than weekday clothes. So it's just the external, it's just mirroring what's going on with the internals. Want you to see with your eyes, should see the change that's really happening internally over here. And they're saying that when you go to the mikvah, you now get your Shabbos clothes, mystically understanding. In Yoneinu, what does that mean? Ki aguv telasid lavo, because the body in the future, what kind of body are you going to have when it's in the next world? The body will enable the soul to flow right through it. The divine presence of the soul will flow right through the body. You'll have, as it would be, as apparently, a translucent body. That's clear that the neshama is shining through it. That's the kind of body we're going to have in the next world. Nikra, and it's called chalukah rabbanah. It's called rabbinic garb. Rabbinic clothing. That's the next world. Why? Pirish, ki hu guf rachani. He's a totally spiritual body. Shinirkam, and how is it weaved together? Using a physical anthropomorphical term. How do you create the spiritual body in the next world? Only meirach v'shasav mitzvot shikim. Only through the mitzvot that you do. By doing the 365 mitzvot, you've created the garment for the soul. You've created a beautiful garment for the soul. For such a garment, you get it by going to the mikvah. That's what the Kabbalah says. If you go to the mikvah, that's the first step to getting the Shabbos clothes, the garment of the soul. In order to live in the holiness of Shabbos, because the whole idea of living in the Shabbos, what does it mean living in the Shabbos? It's grasping onto the reality that's associated with the tomorrow of receiving the reward. It's living in that world of tomorrow. So to do that, what do you have to do to get to that reality? You got to remove that physical comprehension of the physical body of the 6 days of the week. You got to get rid of that type of a garment. How does that happen? You got to put on a rabbinic garment, as it were. And therefore, it comes out going to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos is one of the primary things to prepare you for the Shabbos Kodesh. Now, how that happens, we're going to talk about next week. There's a long essay. It'll probably take a couple of weeks for us to understand how that does that. But what the tzaddik over here did over here is explain that Erev Shabbos has to have this hachonah, has to have this preparation to play down the physical, to be able to put on the spiritual garment that you need to have. And the more you make the body nothing, the more the neshama will be something. And now we're saying going to the mikvah is precisely the most potent way of playing down the body and picking up the neshama. And folks, and say there's nothing left of my body. That the caricature is gone. whatever caricature you take into the mikvah, when you come out of the mikvah, you're a different person. And that's why they say about, you know, great tzaddikim. The name escapes me right now. I know the sefer and everything. It's just the name. It's just they said whenever he went to the mikvah, everybody would say that he came out of the mikvah a foot taller. So they once asked an old person who was alive when that tzaddik was alive, and they said, "Was it really true that when he came out of the mikvah, he was a foot taller?" So the person answered, "I don't know if he was a foot taller, but one thing I can say for sure, he said it in Yiddish, and I'll say it in English. But when he came out of the mikvah, hat gewein an anderer Mensch in ganzen. He was a totally different person. A totally different person. He was a different person when he came out of that mikvah. Why? Well, if you come in thinking you're somebody, and you come out thinking you're a nobody, then you're going to come out a different person. And that's how you have to come out. That's how you have to, you know, all the things that build up our ego, right? And all the things we do, business, this, all those things that we think I'm a big, special, important person by what I do. You have to play that all down. You have to knock it all down. And when you do the most mundane activities, see, and says, what I do, look what I do. I just chop wood. I don't do anything special. Physically. So it must be, no. And when does this happen? Unfortunately, when do these things really happen? When does a person really think about being spiritual? Only when tragedies happen. You know, when unfortunately a person tragically, who is a healthy person, all thing, he's cut down and he's a paraplegic. Then all of a sudden he begins to think and say, listen, if I'm thinking that life is only how spectacular my body is, I haven't got much of a body now, am I worthless? So either they fall into a terrible depression and they want to commit suicide, or they finally learn the lesson, you know what, I have to be more than a body because it's ridiculous. And all of a sudden they become spiritual. Or if God forbid they lose their job, then it's terribly crushing. So Hashem said, I don't want you to get sick. I don't want you to lose your job. What I want you to do is to keep Shabbos. And come into Erev Shabbos feeling that all this physical world is worthless. And now the spiritual is what's really important. And the way to start it properly, go to the mikvah. So Mirtz Hashem, next week we will get into this topic. And we'll sit, and even beyond the mikvah, the whole idea of water and all those ideas, what water represents in spirituality, that's the things we'll talk about next week. Mirtz Hashem.